All right, Paul, we touched a couple nerves in the opening hour. We really didn't get to Steelers that much. We have some interesting Doug Whaley stuff on Broderick Jones from the morning show. But we'll talk about that. We'll analyze the roster, all of that stuff, and where they might go at receiver if they want to pick another guy up. In the meantime, we have Heather Like maybe going to Northwestern, one of three finalists. We have the Pirates. I mean, but by any fair-minded review, they've become a circus. When you have a crowd, when you're getting blown out by the Cubs again, chanting for your first baseman to come in and pitch, you have become a circus. They're closer to the first pick than they are to a playoff spot, and it's a lottery. So when I say that, they could be in the lottery for the first pick again. In fact, I think they are right now in that lottery. It's just the wheels have fallen off. And we talked about a lot of other things that people want to talk about with us. The Lions.
What's interesting, Joe, is 5 years ago, I was okay with them, you know, getting the first pick.
Yeah.
Now, it's a disaster.
It is. I mean, they just, again, had, I think, three picks in the top 47. The Pirates did. At some point, this has to turn into something other than people chanting for Rowdy Tellez to pitch. It's just, it's ridiculous at this point. So the lines are lighting up like Mulsey in a craft beer house, are they not?
They certainly are.
And it'll be a potpourri. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Let's do a little old school sports talk radio. Go out to the lines and see where the people take us.
Here's Derek in West Mifflin.
What's up, Derek?
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
Good. What's on your mind?
Oh, I'm just walking down, about to head into the stadium, thinking about if Alika Williams will go 0 for 4 with 4 Ks or go 0 for 4 with a single that went 65 miles an hour. I just don't understand why Shelton puts out these ridiculous lineups.
Well, hold on. What's he supposed to do at this point? Look at the roster.
He's got to go up and say, can we call a few kids up?
That's not his job. That's Ben Cherington's job, right?
Yeah, true.
Well, but I'm with you, man. I'm with you, and God bless you. You're heading out to the ballpark?
Yeah, I'm actually just about to enter here, so, I mean, I'm probably going to see another loss, but also, Paul Skeens needs to realize that Grandal is not going to be his catcher for the next 15 years, and he's got to learn to catch Jerry Bart if he wants to have a catcher next year.
Paul?
I agree. I mean, my thing with Grandal is he seems to have literally like 7 hits this year. All of them are walk-off home runs or big hits late in games. But other than that, he's been a total disaster. Like the other day he had the walk-off home run. And I was like, the thing that sucks about that is it probably bought him, you know, 30 more days of playing.
It's his defense that, you know, he's a supportive veteran type who handles a staff well. I do believe that. But you saw the other day the limitations in terms of throwing out runners. I mean, that's all measured statistically. He has been hitting, actually, this month. But, man, you talk about too little, too late. He's just not viable for next year. Next.
No, I mean.
Here's Rob in Chicago.
Hello, Rob.
Paul, Joe, good morning. I got two things I want to touch on. One Steelers, one Pirates. I'll make it quick. As far as the Steelers and their not-so-special teams, has anybody ever reflected on the fact that we haven't had a kickoff return for a touchdown since 2017, and we haven't had a punt return for a touchdown since 2019? Now, those are kind of important aspects of the game. And, you know, our punter, you know, which Tomlin kept around too long, he was dreadful. If it wasn't for Boswell, our special teams would be just horrible. And my Pirates comment, this past weekend when Bonds was in town to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, he even called out the Pirates for sloppy play and said that wouldn't have been tolerated with Jim Leland and, you know, our coaching staff. So, I mean, something's got to get done. You can't just continue to get clown punched like this every single game.
Clown punched is a good word.
Clown punched, man.
Wait, what was your first point? I'm still laughing at your second point. Oh, the Steelers special teams.
Point,
yeah. We appreciate the call. Paul, the special teams.
The special teams, I've been saying for I don't know how many years, How is it that all of these other coordinators have been fired and recycled and moved out and, you know, but Bubblegum Man, what's his name? Bubblegum Guy that runs up and down the sidelines with the bubblegum in his mouth.
Danny Smith.
Danny Smith. He seems to be a guy who's like Teflon. He's like Teflon. He's the only coach other than Mike Tomlin over there that's Teflon. Why? The special teams have been bad.
I don't know.
They've been uninspiring. They've been bad. They get penalties all the time.
Can either one of you tell me who returned the most kickoffs for the Steelers last year? Either one of you? Paul? Limitless Wonder?
Oh, I can picture him, but I can't remember right now his name.
I wouldn't have gotten this.
No, who?
Godwin Igwebike.
That's not even who I was thinking.
And Anthony McFarland.
That's who I was thinking.
There have been years where Tomlin doesn't even compete on returns. Remember the year he had Najee Davenport back there? He'd have basically a fullback returning kicks.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Remember Gunner back there?
That's right.
And Gunner.
They had Gunner
right. They had Gunner back there. We have some great Gunner clips. You got to find the Gunner sounders in Folesy's folder. Can you do that?
I will walk.
Limits. I mean, those are special. They really are. Who's the guy who does the special teams ratings every year? Rick? What's his name? Paul?
Rick.
I can't remember.
Here's Olszewski. And Gunner spins for nine.
I like this guy, Olszewski. He doesn't get a whole lot of opportunities, but, you know, he's like the Tasmanian devil when he does.
They're just so mediocre. When you think about it, their special teams personify the franchise as a whole.
Yeah.
Every year I look at this, it's great. Rick Goslin, been covering the NFL forever. And again, the Steelers, he rates special teams based on everything. Kicking, punting, returns, coverage. And where do you think the Steelers are? 17th. Because of course they're 17th, because that's about where they are every year. It's horrifying, really. They don't change many games. They have a couple block kicks that have, you know, helped them win some games. But basically, it's just mediocre. Kind of like everything else with the Steelers over much of the past 7 years. Maybe slightly above. They do, after all, have a 17-year non-losing streak. You can't even say winning streak. It's the cumbersome,
right.
But like when you want to just make a bullet point, it's the cumbersome phrase
non-losing.
Of, yeah, it's a 17-year non-losing streak.
And here's the thing. There are people, again, and this is what baffles me, okay? Baffles me. And I don't understand some of these like super fanboys and people that are, you know, Tomlin apologists and everything else. If I said to you, okay, would you right now take the Steelers' non-losing streak, okay, or the Eagles? Let's just go for the last 2, 4, 6, 7, the last 7 seasons.
Yeah.
Would you rather have the Eagles 7 seasons, even though there was a 4-11 in there, or would you rather have the Steelers 7 seasons?
Not even close. Not even close to what I would rather have.
And the bottom line is, I would take, so when the Steelers were in the Super Bowl, what, 2010?
Yeah.
Okay. I would take from 2011 till now, oh, the Eagles versus what the Steelers have done, even though the Eagles had a couple of losing records. They had a couple 7-9s when the Steelers had 8-8s.
Yeah. You know who else's last 7 years I would take? The Texans, for a number of reasons, and I'll go back 7 years. They finished 4-12, then 11-5, then 10-6. They won a playoff game that year. You remember what that feels like to win a playoff game in 19? Then they went 4-12, 4-13, 3-13-1, and that allowed them to get a star quarterback. So they went 10-7 and won another playoff game. And now look at them.
Right.
They're a team that nobody would be surprised to be in the Super Bowl. You know, we've been through this before so many times.
I mean, it's
how the 70s Steelers were launched, by being horrible. It's how, ironically, it's how the non-losing streak was launched, because the guy who launched it was a guy they had to lose to get, and that was Ben.
Right. I mean, I just laugh.
It really is.
I mean,
incredible.
I remember when do you remember, it was good times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Let's talk about the Rams the last 7 years.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, I'm old enough to remember when there were a bunch of Steeler fans saying, well, they're going all in and they're mortgaging their future and they're making all these trades for all of these guys and all this other stuff. And it's like, okay, but they were playing to win the Super Bowl, which they ended up doing. You know, it's funny, and I always say this too about pirate wonks too. The few people that are still just pirate apologists that always, you know, when they tell you basically that, you know, oh well, spending the most money, that doesn't necessarily, spending money doesn't necessarily guarantee winning. And in the case of, you know, the you know, football, well, going out and getting free agents doesn't necessarily guarantee you winning. But they always point to all the other teams that didn't pull it off. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They don't pull it off. They don't point to teams that actually, you know, like last year, I think three of the final four teams in baseball were in the top seven in payrolls. Probably just a coincidence, right? They don't point to teams like the Rams, who put together a team that was really, really good. And then, of course, they had to break it up because they had a bunch of guys, basically, that were mercenaries.
And yet, they come back this year with Stafford.
Exactly.
With Nacua, with Cooper Kupp. The Rams are a better bet than the Steelers to reach the Super Bowl, any sports book you
and
look at.
And look, they won the Super Bowl. If I told you, okay, you win the Super Bowl, and the next year they were 5-12. Okay. Then the next year they were 10-7 already, which I believe that's what the Steelers were last year.
Yeah, they built statues for that around
here.
They
were basically the same exact team as the Steelers 2 years after winning the Super Bowl and having to blow their team up. So, you know, this thing about, oh, well, the Steelers, you know, the Steelers, if you look at what they've done since 1970, they've been division titles and they've won and they've only had X amount of losing seasons. You know what I say? I don't give a hell. Not even a little bit.
Me neither. It's, you know, people will accuse others of picking random increments of time.
Right.
Let's just go with a normal one. How about a decade? Do you like where the Steelers have been for a decade? I certainly wouldn't if I were a Steeler fan. I certainly would not. The Texans have won more playoff games than the Steelers
right.
over the past decade. And now, where are they now exactly? Well, I'm looking at the BetMGM Super Bowl odds. Right now, I see the Rams, which was a great example. They're 13th at plus 3,000, right in there with the Dolphins and Jets and Cowboys. And the Steelers are way down at 19. Way down with the Seahawks and Bucks and Vikings. And then all of a sudden, they're closer to the Saints, Cardinals, Raiders, Commanders, and Giants than they are to teams that people are taking seriously, which are obviously the Chiefs are number one, the Niners, Ravens, Lions, Eagles, Bengals, Bills, Texans. Those are your top 10.
Right.
Add the Packers are in the 10 too. It's just, again, that's go back to their special teams are reflective of where the franchise is as a whole. And the question that nobody asks is, shouldn't be, hey, how do the Steelers exceed their expectations every year? The question that nobody asks is nationally is, why are expectations so low every year for the fabled Pittsburgh Steelers? Every year, nobody expects anything from the Steelers anymore.
No.
And you know what? They get what they expect, pretty much nothing, every year. It's incredible to me. It's one of sports' great phenomenons right now is the Tomlin regime. How it's viewed nationally like they're doing unbelievable things, but nobody ever asks, how come nobody expects the Steelers to really do anything every year anymore? You know what I mean?
Right. Well, you want to talk about the Tomlin effect on the Steelers? It's the lowering of expectations.
Yes, that's it.
Somebody, I got into it with somebody the other day. We were talking about, I told you this, we were talking about Stefanski versus Tomlin. And I said, well, in the last 4 years, Stefanski has at least won a playoff game, oh, by the way, over Tomlin.
Yeah.
And he's only been a coach for 4 years, so we can't judge with anything else. And people want to bring up, well, he hasn't won a Super Bowl yet. Okay, that's not the discussion we're having. But that's the mentality. Well, you know, say whatever you want to say, but Mike Tomlin won a Super Bowl. Yeah, but back then, guess what? I was young and healthy.
Right, that was a long time ago,
That was a long time ago. Back then, I could still dunk a basketball.
We could be going on 8 years without a playoff win. When was your first memory, Limits?
I'd say probably about 6 or 7.
Okay, let's say six.
Yeah.
So they go 8 without a playoff win. And then you take somebody who's a normal person, 6 years old are their first memories. Now we're getting to 14 years old. So people heading into the latter stages of high school would have no conscious memory of watching the Steelers win a playoff game. That is amazing. And yet people say, well, you know, it hasn't been that long and they're still competitive. 7 years in the NFL is a lifetime. People have forged Hall of Fame careers in 7 years. Guys like Terrell Davis and Gale Sayers and Tony Boselli and Patrick Willis made the Hall of Fame based on about like 4 years of prime football. Jimmy Johnson coached 9. It's forever. And yet it still seems, although this started to erode, I think, late last season, there still seems to be this idea that Mike Tomlin is doing some sort of amazing, not just good, amazing job with the Steelers. Just incredible.
I was a sophomore in high school the last time they won a playoff game, if you want some context there.
Well, again, I mean, the last time they won a playoff game was it when they beat Alex Smith?
Yes. No. Yes. Yeah,
they beat Alex Smith in Kansas City.
Yeah, and then they lost to the Patriots in the championship.
Because the year before that, they beat
A.J. McCarron, maybe?
They beat the Bengals when Pac-Man Jones and Perfect lost the, you know, blew a gasket at the end of the game.
Handed them a game.
They won that game. And then the next year, if you remember, they beat Matt Moore and the Dolphins.
Right.
Think about it. That's your last three playoff wins.
Right.
Matt Moore and you have you count on your ledger losses to people like Blake Bortles and Tebow.
I was just going to say Tebow. Quiz show, top of the hour. I forget the score. All I know is I won last week's quiz show.
It's 4-2.
4-2. I can cut it to a game. Paul, I think you were talking to the boss earlier. Any of the cuts around the NFL entice you? Does a guy like Kadarius Toney get your attention? He doesn't get, I mean, athletically he does, but what a disaster he was in Kansas City.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, he almost single-handedly kept them from winning a second straight Super Bowl.
And the bottom line is, it's not like he had a bad quarterback that was throwing to him.
Right.
Noah Brown does.
Yeah, I saw Pony tweeted about him.
I would have some interest in him. There was like 3, 4, 5 different corners that have been cut. Who was the guy we talked about yesterday that was cut, the corner?
Henderson.
Yeah.
C.J. Henderson.
C.J. Henderson I'd have some interest in him. I mean, I think they need a corner and they need a receiver.
I don't see any Joe Hayden types. Seems like that was a once in a lifetime. Remember when he fell into their laps when the Browns cut him and he wanted to play here? Maybe partially out of revenge to that. I don't know what it was, but he wanted to play here. That doesn't look like anything like that is happening. This just, it looks like you're going to be reaching no matter where you go. Right?
Right. I mean, obviously guys are getting cut. Guys are getting cut for a reason. Some of them, though, it's financial. It's not that they're bad players. It's just financially, you know, the team drafted a younger guy who's cheap.
Yeah.
They need to fit into the salary cap, so they're cutting a guy who's, you know, who costs a lot of money, who might not, you know, who might be maybe marginally better than the rookie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What do you make of this Deion Sanders stuff, Paul? You and I, you're a big Deion fan. I like Deion.
Yeah, I do.
I've had a couple of interactions, but this crap with the newspaper there, to me, is ridiculous, and it makes him look horrible. Jim Trotter, for those of you who don't know, there's a columnist for the Denver Post who's been very critical of Deion and that program, and they've basically cut them off. I don't know if there's an update to that story, but not just the columnist. They've cut off the Denver Post. And Deion seems to think that the media covering his team should be fans of his team,
right,
like boosters.
Right.
I just think he looks horrible. Jim Trotter wrote a great column on this the other day. Like basically, what are you doing? You look like a bully. You look like a hypersensitive coach who can't take any criticism. I think he looks bad, Paul. You?
You are in the Hall of Fame. You've won Super Bowls. You were on World Series teams. You are one of the all-time great athletes of our life. Why are you so insecure?
Yeah.
If I had one question to ask him, I would say, why are you so insecure? What is it that you think is not secure enough about you and about your legacy? Because he's always doing the, you know, God Squad stuff. That's something that's starting to get on my nerves a little bit. He's always falling to the God Squad stuff. You know what I mean? I'm defined by God and, you know, this and that. Okay, great. But at the end of the day, you and some of your players have acted like total jackasses. And when you do that, you're going to get called out. It's not the devil rising up in people, and it's not, you know, forces of evil and all the other stuff. If you show your ass, people are going to do everything in their power, you know what I mean, to wear it out. Especially when you give them reason to. When you've got your players wearing Rolex watches or whatever during the game or whatever it was after the one guy scores a touchdown and he's pointing to his watch like, yeah, and they end up losing the game. Guess what? So to me, Deion Sanders, A, has no reason to be insecure. You're Deion Sanders, for God's sakes. But the second part of it is all of this idea that somehow the criticism of him and his program is unwarranted. And of course, we've heard, well, you know, they even take always got to take it to, well, you know, it's based in a little bit of racism and all this other stuff. No. This guy has put a target on his back. He's put a target on the back of his program. Now, that's been part of his genius because guess what? For given, you know, how bad that team is, we talk a whole lot about him. So he's been able to put him on the map that way. But when you put yourself out there like that and you're continually always just, you know, talking trash and doing the things they're doing and, you know, you're going to get criticized when you don't have success. And guess what? You don't have success. They haven't had success. And here's the other thing, like we've talked about. I think everybody knows that the minute his kids are done playing at Colorado, he's done coaching at Colorado. He's 100% about coaching his kids. And the other kid, what's the two-way player that's really good?
Travis Hunter.
Hey, him.
He's unbelievable.
His two kids and that kid. That's all he cares about.
Well, when he got off to a good start last year, he definitely jumped the gun by saying, I told you so. And then his team just got absolutely shredded the rest of the year.
Right.
And you're right. When you come in carrying a big stick like that and telling everybody what's going to change and that you're the one who's going to be doing it right and you better get us now because we're going to get you later. Well, you better get them or you have to expect the blowback. Come on. Right. Exactly. Come on, Deion. You have to expect the blowback and live with it. And he's got a great sense of humor. Somewhere in our archives here is my interaction with him from the Super Bowl, Paul. A number of years ago. It was the Steelers-Packers Super Bowl in Dallas. Were you there? Were you covering it?
No.
There was a special room on Media Day for NFL Network people, or maybe ESPN, I can't remember. I think it was NFL Network. And you could go in and interview him. And there was Deion. So I walked into the room, and he says to me, come over here. Never met him in my life. He says, come over here. Take a seat. He said, put your foot on my knee. I said, okay. And he proceeds to tie my shoe. He said, I got a fetish about that. He said, I can't stand people walking around with untied shoes. So I interviewed him partially for part of the time while he was tying my shoe, and he was tremendous. He was great.
Yes.
He was friendly. He was outgoing. He seems like a guy you'd want to spend time with. But in this situation, I don't think Deion gets advice from anybody. Is there anybody there with media savvy who's telling him what's up, Paul? That's my question. Does he have advisors around him? Does he have an E.J. Borghetti around him? Yeah. That type telling him, this is what you got to say and not say up here today.
Yeah.
And yes, of course, I don't know who's running that school right now, who the AD is. We're going to have the Denver Post covering our football team.
Right.
Period.
Especially since they've probably worked really hard over the last 20 years to get the Denver Post interested in covering their football team.
Right.
Now they're finally interested in covering it. Listen, it's the whole thing with any publicity is bad publicity. But he objected to the fact, and we've all seen the clip.
You mean any is good?
Any publicity is good publicity.
Yeah.
I don't know what I said, but that's what I meant. We've all seen the clip. Reacted to the guy and basically said, well, why do you even come here? You know, you seem to be negative. You're a negative guy. What have I done what have we done to deserve this and all this?
Yeah.
What you've done? Doesn't matter. He's not on your team. This is what drives me crazy. You know, I remember when I used to cover Pitt, there was always a segment of the Pitt fan base would be, you're too negative, because I point out, by the way, this is the third week in a row they've given up 600 plus yards. Or, you know, the one year when their defense was so bad, I wrote something to the effect of, well, the good news about having a horrible defense is the games are always entertaining. You know, I wouldn't take shots at, but I would just write what was actually, you're a 4-8 football team last year. That talked a lot, that acted the fool a lot. So guess what? If I was there in that town and I was covering it, I'd be ripping you too.
I'd be criticizing them in some of the same ways I've criticized Narduzzi for some of the stuff he said over the past few years, just basically ripping him, saying his offensive coordinator makes quarterback decisions.
Yeah.
It's one of the most ridiculous things anybody's ever heard. So here's the other thing. Here's the other thing is that Deion's not alone in getting ripped. He seems to think he's being singled out here. Every coach gets ripped to shreds when they lose. Every coach everywhere, let alone guys who are out there saying, I'm going to do this differently. You watch what we do. You watch how good we're going to be, how great we're going to be. And talking the talk like that, you better believe you're going to get shredded. He knows this. That's the thing.
It's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, to me, I'm sorry. It's absolutely ridiculous. And then, I heard him saying, Nick Saban can have a back and forth with the media and he doesn't get criticized for it. Well, first of all, he does get criticized.
Right.
Every one of those clips where he's a jerk, he gets ripped. But secondly, could you win a national title, much less seven? Before you start comparing yourself to Nick Saban?
I mean, yeah, right. And that part, too, really galls me. Like, I'm being treated differently than anybody else. There's a guy at Ohio State who almost never loses in Ryan Day. Go spend a day on talk radio there. Somebody should take Deion down there and say, listen to this. For this guy who's like, what's his record? That he's 56-8.
Yes.
And he's 39-3 in the Big Ten, and he gets shredded. He's lost. How many Big Ten games has he lost since he got there in 2019? Three.
And they're all to Michigan.
They're all to Michigan. He's also beaten Michigan three times. He's 39-3 in the conference, and he gets ripped. And apparently the guy's coaching for his job this season.
Yes. He's got to beat Michigan this year. They're talking about firing him.
So when if I'm going to start with people who are possibly being treated unfairly with the media, I'll start with Ryan Day, who's 56-8, and then maybe around Coach 800, I'll get to Deion.
Right. I mean, the other part of it is he's had so many people that are basically, you know, apologists for him in the media, which I don't know that there's many people that are apologists for Ryan Day. He at least has a bunch of guys, you know what I mean, a bunch of media guys who will defend everything Deion does. Ryan Day, I'm not sure, has many of those at all.
It's incredible.
I mean, there's people here. You know, the other guy that gets ripped all the time is Brian Kelly. You know?
Yeah.
When he was at Notre Dame, Brian Kelly actually had Notre Dame on the verge of, you know, given, and they do have some structural limitations, but all he did at Notre Dame was, what was his record? Something like he was there for 6 or 7 years, and his record there at Notre Dame, if you think about it, he was his last 5 years, double-digit wins every year.
Yeah.
At Notre Dame.
Yeah, and you can make a case for James Franklin, too, although I think there's legit criticism of Franklin, and we'll be levying some of that this week. But again, on the Deion scale, when you talk about a guy who last year finished 13th in the country, the year before that, 7th, he has 3 top 10 rankings since he got to Penn State. 4, I'm sorry. He has 5 double-digit win seasons. And he gets absolutely shredded. Again, not without some good reason.
Right.
But he would also be up there on the scale, about 1,000 spots above Deion.
Like you said, Ryan Day is the best example. The best example is Ryan Day.
Our coverage on The Fan here regarding college football at the moment, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. The 50-minute mark on The Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge. Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Why don't we take one more call, Wonder Twin? Go ahead.
Let's go to Chuck in Uniontown. Or not Chuck in Uniontown, I'm sorry. Jeff in Uniontown.
Hey, Jeff, what's up?
Hey, Joe, Paul. I just wanted to talk about Cam Hayward and talk about being negative. I feel like I'm the only person who doesn't think this guy deserves another contract. Take his name off the back of his jersey. Call him Player X, all right? And you look at the stuff that's written down. You got a 35-year-old guy going to be 36, coming off surgery, and he has another year on his contract, and then he wants years after that? Tell me how that makes sense.
Well, let me jump in early here and tell you very respectfully that I think that there's a lot of people who think that they're the ones swimming against the tide here. But Jeff, there's tons and tons of people when this topic first came up, when Cam first expressed his displeasure with the Steelers, I would even say the majority, who said it's not a good idea right now to give Cam Hayward a contract extension. So just so you know, you have tons of company there. Tons of company for the reasons that you suggested. His age, coming off a major injury and had a bad year. The people are smart. A lot of people would say, no matter who it is, this is not a good time to give this guy a contract extension. We appreciate the call. Paul, do you think he's going to get it before the end of camp? The end of the preseason, I should say?
I don't think he's
going to
get it before the end of the preseason, which means he's not going to get it till after the season.
Which makes sense,
right?
And
I think they want to see what he can do. Absolutely. They want to make sure he's healthy before they sign him up again for the next couple of years. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. I think if a guy's under contract, I understand why all these guys want, you know, just like Brandon Ayuk. I get it. But he's under contract. But I get it why he would like to have the financial security of that next contract with all that guaranteed money before he plays so he doesn't get injured and hurt.
And he's a younger guy. I mean, Cam's had his money, and the Steelers made him, treated him with the utmost respect.
Right.
I think they gave him the highest number contract for a defensive player over 30, I'm not mistaken.
Right.
And he's still making good money on that. So it just makes all the sense in the world to see after the season what the options are here. Why not? And if he wants to go elsewhere, if that's his move, everybody will survive, including him. He'll be fine.
Right.
You know, and all the fans will be fine. But I don't think that would be his move, by the way. I think if he has a really good year, he'll wind up signing a contract here. You?
Well, I think he will. I don't think he's going to go anywhere else.
Me neither.
And I think that the Steelers don't want to, you know, they would like to sign him to a deal. So, you know, I'm just going to wait to see how it plays out. That's the biggest thing.
Coming up, the moment you've all been waiting for, the resumption of the quiz show. Paul versus me versus Paul, Limits versus Paul, Paul versus me, Limits versus Paul, and maybe Dan Zangrilli coming in. Is that a possibility for this quiz show?
Well, Zangrilli will be at 12:30.
I know, but if he's in the building, we can scour the building and round him up. Can we do that?
If you would wish
Paul,
to do
would
that,
you
we
prefer,
can.
Would you prefer, last week you seemed distracted by Zangrilli's presence during the quiz show to the point where you blamed him for your poor performance.
Well,
would you rather have him not here?
I'm fine with him being here now that I know I will be able to do it a little differently.
All right, let's do that. Man, I wonder what that guy's feeling after these last few games.
Daryl in Houston.
Somebody check on his well-being, perhaps.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.